Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Psalm 8. This particular psalm, through the years for me, has just been such a challenge and a blessing. And not too long ago, I was reading through the first 15 psalms before you get to the 16th. Those are kind of a group of psalms together that are written specifically by David. And they tell a very important story for us as believers. And we're going to look at Psalm 8 tonight, and we won't get through the whole psalm, but we're going to just get started with it. And in this particular psalm, David beautifully weaves together various themes: God's greatness, human frailty is something that's brought out, divine purpose for us, even though we're frail, humanly speaking. God has a divine purpose for us. He includes us in His program. Now that is just a miracle of God's grace, is it not? That He would include us, frail human beings, in His program. And yet He has wonderfully chosen to allow us to be involved in His plan and purposes. And we look forward to the day whenever those plans and purposes come to fruition and culmination, and we stand with Him. What a glorious day that will be. Despite the fact that the psalm reminds us of our smallness in this universe, we have a significant role in God's cosmic design. And I'm going to touch on that some tonight as we read this psalm. Only 9 verses in length, but a very powerful, powerful psalm. It's to the chief musician upon Gittith. And to this day, scholars have no idea what Gittith is. There has been everything from a celestial star pattern in the heavens to a musical instrument and everything in between. And nobody seems to know. It stumps even the Hebrew rabbis of the present day. I put that word in Google, did a Google search because I couldn't find an answer. I had several rabbis that said, "We have no idea what this is." And I actually saw a video where they were saying that, talking, and we have no idea what this word means. It could mean this, it could mean that, it could mean, you know. He talked like, Tavia in Fiddler on the Roof? That's what he sounded like when he was talking. But anyway, have no idea what it means, but it is definitely a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. That is probably one of the most unbelievable statements in the Bible right there. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings comes what? Strength. How is that possible? Well, we're going to look at that a little bit. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Now he's talking about humanity, mankind. God has done this. He's chosen him for these purposes and given him dominion. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas are under the dominion of man. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd open your word to our hearts tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to point out, first of all, how the psalm begins and how the psalm ends. It's almost identical, is it not? The phrases that are used here regarding the fact that our Lord has an excellent name. You know, names are fun. I have to memorize hundreds of names every year. You have all these new kids that come into school, and I try to memorize every one of their names, and so I don't have to say, "Hey, you," in the hallway. I can call them by name and talk to them. That means something to a kid, by the way, to know their names. Does it mean something to you? And we're told something about God's name. It is excellent. And the reason it's excellent is not so much the actual letters of his name and perhaps the meaning of his name, but what all that name represents. Now, this is important to grasp. What does your name represent? Now, if I were to tell you, my name Todd in German means death. Now, thank you, Dad and Mom, I appreciate that. But in Anglo-Saxon, Todd means fox. So T-O-D with one D means fox in one language, it means death in another. So I've chosen the Anglo-Saxon aspect of it. And if I were to go around the room tonight, would you be able to tell me what your name means, but what your name represents? Now, I'm sure some of you could say, oh yeah, my name means, now, I remember Roy Adams. Roy means king, by the way. And Dr. Hobbs every once in a while would call him King Adams. When he'd be out there, Roy would come out and sometimes on Saturday morning sit out there and watch Dr. Hobbs and talk to him back and forth at the vineyard out there. And we boys would be out there working and he'd say, King Adams, your name is Roy, you're a king. And that stuck in my mind, you know. And everybody has unique meanings to their name, but there's something more important than just that. What does your name represent? Because our Lord's name is excellent. So I kind of compiled the things as you go through these verses that reflect upon his name, because that's what these verses do, especially the first six verses. They represent aspects of his excellent name. And so the book ends exalting his excellent name, kind of play into this theme of the glory of his name. And I want to share that with you in regard, the excellence of God's name throughout the earth and above the heavens. Every aspect of our universe is touched by God. You know, we have these beautiful pictures coming back from the new space satellites that are out there. We've got a new space telescope that's out there sending back these beautiful images of the universes that are out there and the constellations and so forth, the galaxies. And you sit there in awe at the beauty of that. And you and I will never see that with these eyes. You can't see it. It's in utter darkness. You may see, you know, lights and so forth flickering, but to see the beauty of that, you have to get out there, get pictures of that. But then to realize that God spoke that into existence. All that beauty. I've got a new app, thanks to Roger. This new app is called Skyview Light. And you can click on this thing and it starts playing all this eerie space music. But you can point it into the sky and you can see every star is named as you move across the heavens. And you can point it down and it shows you the stars and stuff that are on the other side of the earth. That's an amazing app. So I was walking around there. I know that people that may have seen me thought I was an idiot. Maybe Bill was out there walking. There's Todd taking selfies. But I wasn't taking selfies. I was looking at the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper and the String of Pearls, and it was just amazing to me to see all those things named. You always wonder, now what is that? Oh, that's Leo. Now, you know, Leo is the earthly name that we give it, but it's you know, they have all these different names and so on. It's just amazing to me. And then when you point it down toward other continents, you can kind of figure out where they are on that. You can point it out and you can see. I remember seeing the sky in India at night. I went up on the roof and there were no lights out there because the power shut off at night. It was like pitch black. And you'd see all these stars that I had never seen before just because of where it's located in the southern tip of India. And so I went down there and I got to see them again, you know, just looking around on my phone. And to think, God just spoke that into existence. Now stop, Christian. If God can speak all of that into existence, can He take care of me? Absolutely. Absolutely. People that are constantly feeling sorry for themselves, talking about all their problems and things of that nature, have a very small God. Can I just say that? It's not that we don't have problems. We all have problems. Do we not? We all have troubles. Mr. O'Pager walked in with his Aaron's rod or Moses' rod or something. We've got different names for it. But he's got his problems. He has to have a cane. We all have our sicknesses. We all have our illnesses. But I want you to know something. God, who spoke the world into existence in all of its intricate beauty, every atom, every molecule that's represented by all that, he can surely take care of me. And so when we go out to share all of our woes and so forth, why don't you stop and share it with the one that can do something about it? Do I hear an amen? Before we get on social media and talk about all of our problems and so forth and put that out there for everybody so they can get a whole string of comments. Oh, I'm praying for you. Oh, I'm so sorry for you. Oh, it must be awful being you. All those comments. What is the purpose of that? Is there any help gained by that? I don't think so. I think the help comes from above. And his excellent name indicates something. Who he is. He is the God of absolute power. Absolute. Unlimited. And he's the one we pray to. He's the one that we enter into fellowship with each and every day. When your feet hit the floor in the morning after you slept all night, who was watching over you while you were drooling on your pillow? Think about it for just a few moments. Who watched over you? You didn't have to think about all the things going on all over the planet. You didn't have to think about the stuff going on in outer space. You didn't have to think about the rotation of the earth. None of that was in your mind. You were just in happy land. Going into REM, rapid eye movement, you know, and your eyes are doing all this behind there, and you're just, oh, this is wonderful. You didn't think about a thing. You didn't have to think about your heart beating. You didn't have to think about the corpuscles and the blood flow and all that stuff. That was just taken care of by whom? God Almighty. We need to learn to rest like that 24/7 because He is a God of power. He has an excellent name because of who He is. Number two, He has an excellent name because of how He uses us. Notice this in verses 2 through 3. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Then he makes a conclusion, what is man? All right, in the next verse. But he said, when I think about the work of thy fingers, now I don't know all that that entails there other than the fact that we know that God formed Adam from the dust of the earth. Did he use his fingers? Well, he doesn't have literal fingers. But the imagery is there. You understand what it means there. That when I consider all of that, I realize, what is man? Why does God choose to use us? We're so frail. We are so, put it this way, we're dumb. We're just not very smart. We go out and do things that we know are unwise, and then we wonder why we did them. We make decisions and choices many times that are just foolish. We know better, but we do those kind of things, and then we sit back and say, why did I do that? That was absolutely stupid. Why did I do that? And God chooses to use us. Now, this picture of God employing the weakest beings is put in an image that we can all understand. My wife was over today visiting with Caroline. She got to hold Avery, and Avery's a little teeny tiny baby, and there's this little baby, and God says, out of babes and sucklings, I can bring out strength. Now, here's this baby that's totally dependent on mama to feed her, take care of her, change her, put her to bed, pick her up, take her wherever they need to go, totally dependent. So what's the picture here? God manifesting Himself on the weakest. What did He say to Paul? All right, my grace is sufficient for thee. For what? My strength is made perfect in your weakness. This is the image in the New Testament of what he says in the Old Testament. The fact that God can take something that has no power, God can empower him or her, and they can do whatever they ought to do for his glory. That's just beautiful. We can give God all kinds of excuses. Well, I'm just not very good at witnessing, or I'm just not very good at doing these other things. Well, in ourselves, you're right, we're not. But who's our power? Who's our source of power? What do we need to do? We need to depend on Him. Just like a baby depends upon their mother, we need to depend on God that way. Every detail of life. There's not a detail that the baby speaks up to mama and says, "Mama got this," at 1 month. Wouldn't that be nice? Vanessa would be putting an amen on that one. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if the baby said, "You know, I'm going to do the diaper change now, mama. You don't need to worry about it." 1 month years old. Uh-huh. How's that going to work? But you know, we do the same thing as Christians. "God, I got this. I don't need your help." And here we are, babes and sucklings. It's interesting that in the Aramaic, the word yalya is a word that can be translated in the Old Testament as rebellious children, and is so. The first word, babes, is translated variously in the Old Testament, rebellious children is one of them. So he can even take rebellious children and he can perform his will. Can you give me a few examples from the Old Testament? The first one that comes to my mind is Balaam. Here's this rebellious prophet, and he's going on his way. He's going to go down there to the king. "I got a plan so that I can get paid, and God will pronounce a curse on the children of Israel." And as he's going down there riding his donkey stops. The donkey had more sense than Balaam did. And he kicked the donkey. He hit the donkey. "Let's move, let's move." And finally the donkey turns around and says, "Do you not see the angel with the flaming sword?" Yeah. Yeah. Well, what is that? Rebellious children. He wanted to pronounce a curse, and God wouldn't let him. Every time he tried to mouth the words of a curse, God changed the words in his mouth, and they became blessings. Now, God can do. He can perform whatever he wishes to perform at any time. Does he always do that? No. Sometimes he lets the natural things unfold so that his will be performed. But sometimes he interrupts things. He'll stop something in order to bring something else to pass. Oh, we've seen that so many times throughout the years where God will just put a stop to something just like that and say, "Nope, no more. We're going to do it this way." And he'll just close a door, and then he'll open another one. I'm sure you could bear testimony in your own heart and life of how God has closed doors on you that you thought were something that you should go through, and then you find out, whoa, maybe not. But sometimes God will just stop it for right now, and we'll do something else. God can do those kind of things in our hearts and lives. Why? Because he is who he is. And we are who we are, and he chooses to work in our lives. Thirdly, and in closing here, because we're going to go to prayer, verse 4. God has an excellent name because he cares for us. He cares for us. You know, we've had chickens now for over a year. I badmouthed my chickens early on, because they were the slowest laying hens. Everybody else was talking about all their hens laying, you know, within 8 weeks, 9 weeks, or so forth. It took mine almost 16 weeks before they laid an egg. But I want to tell you something. They haven't stopped. They're the outlayingest things I've ever seen in my life. So I go out there and I give them pep talks. And keep it up, girls. You're doing great. Now, chickens are not the smartest things. You know, they've got their challenges. They'll come up to you and they'll sit there and peck at you if you got the food in your hand. I went out there tonight to put a little food out there, and I was carrying the cup, and I went to reach over the edge to slosh some out, and one of them just came right up off the ground and got me on that. And I, wait a minute now, woo, I'm the one giving you the food. But it was excitement. It was excitement. Dinner time! Ready to eat? Now this third one here, God cares for us. Do you know how hard we are to care for? We were talking about, even I were talking about uncooperative patients today. They have that label, by the way, at a doctor's office. If you have a patient that doesn't take their medication or they don't show up for their appointments or whatever, they'll actually get a label that's put on their uncooperative patient. You don't want that label, especially in an emergency situation. Oh, this person hasn't been doing this, 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 this. Yeah, that one. And, you know, I don't know. You don't want that label. You want to be known as the cooperative patient. God cares for us even though we're not very cooperative. Despite His greatness, God's delicate work shines through the moon and stars and even in our human lives. He'll do things for us. He'll work situations out that we just saw were impossible, and God will just work it out because He cares for us. God will identify something maybe in our bodies that's going on so that we can find treatment and help because He cares for us. God supplied His righteousness to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, because He cares for us. Whatever burden I have, I can take it to the Lord and cast it upon Him because He cares for us. And so this verse here in Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Oh, the Lord has chosen to include us in His realm of care. You know, we have the best health care system in the world. People don't believe that. They honestly don't. But we have the best health care system in the whole world. We have the great physician. Now, I'm not saying that we ought to ignore doctors. Not at all. Don't go out there and say, Mr. Brainerd said that we're not supposed to go to doctors. We're just supposed to go to Jesus. Not what I'm saying. But I want to tell you something. The first person you ought to go to about anything is the Lord Jesus. That's the first one. He's the mediator between God and man. He's the go-between. He's the great physician. He's the one that can heal. The Gospels are full of all the things that He did through the power of the Holy Spirit, by the way. He was able to do that. And God can heal. God can help. And by the way, when He takes one of His children, that is healing. That is healing. Because now the spirit and the soul are with the Lord, and the next phase for them is a new body. So they're healed. All we do is wait for that time. But we're healed. We're in the presence of the Lord. So I'm going to stop at the fourth verse here. Man, weak and unworthy, is still the focus of His care and attention. And I'm thankful for that tonight, and I trust that you are as well.